Okay, last week, let's just go over it real brief because it's going to spring us into chapter 6. This I say, verse 16, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. I could read that through 10 times, dramatically, with inflection on different word each time. Listen, if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. They're obvious. They're way out there. Everyone can know what they are. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. It's not an exhaustive list. And there's others as well. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You believe that means what it says? I do. But, compared to that, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We don't like the first list, we like the second list. We want to go from the first list, which is what we used to be, to the second list. We want our lives to be marked by love, peace, joy. Now, how we get from point A to point B is everything. Now, traditionally, historically, the default button is set on rules. Adultery is bad. Okay, I'm not going to date somebody who's married to somebody else. That's a good rule. That's a good. You do that, okay? That's a good rule. What is wrong? What do we say? Fornication. Don't want my teen daughter becoming a mom, so I'm not going to let her date until she's 16, 18, 20, 21, 25, 34, 40. Ron says, okay, so it depends who your dad is, the number changes. So we throw rules in place, because rules are good. Now, some will say 40, some will say 20. Okay, let's just say 20, okay, round numbers. But the heart of our daughter hasn't changed. She's boy crazy. We put a rule there. You can't date till you're 20. So what happens at 20? I'm still boy crazy. I still love that whole idea. First date, clothes are off, baby's on the way. Congratulations, Grammy, Grampy. You've got yourself a... Nothing's changed. We don't go from list A to list B successfully by rules. And if we do, it's not going to produce relationship. It's going to produce religion. We talked about this at length last week. So how do we get these things? I want love. I want peace. I want joy. I want my life to be marked by these things. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. I want that. How do I get that? Chapter 6 explains. And so we'll start chapter 6. Okay, not rules. That's exactly what we've been arguing against in the first five chapters. Now, we want to be spiritual. I was going to say spirit-filled, but I don't want to give you a new paradigm to set your compass by. Spirit-filled, and now you're legalist about spirit-filled. No matter what I say, you know, we can make that the new top of the pyramid. I'm going to attain that. We're just doing more rules. No. Chapter 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, right, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Wasn't meekness in the list? Yeah, it was, as a matter of fact. Verse 23, it's the very first thing there. Is there a connection? Oh, sure. Now, listen. Who's spiritual? I don't want you to raise your hand because that's almost like bragging a little bit. No, you're all spiritual. You all have the Spirit of God. Now, is there carnal Christians and spiritual Christians? Gee, I'm afraid so. I mean, wake up and smell the coffee. You've seen it. Now, for the carnal Christian, the first list is going to mark your life more than the second list. The second list will be true to some degree. Listen, I told you, I got saved. I was, my life was horrible. It's just sinful. I got saved. The Spirit of God came my life. Now, all of a sudden, overnight, really, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. It's Romans chapter 5, maybe verse 5. I'm never exactly sure where that's. Someday I'll look it up. Okay. Suddenly, I care about other people if they're going to hell or not. I used to tell them to go to hell. Sometimes I would like to send them to hell. But now all of a sudden, I don't want anyone to go to hell. Now all of a sudden, I care. How'd that happen? Holy Spirit got in me, started infecting me with his love stuff, you know. That's what happened. What, did I just reform? No. Did I get religion? No. Religion won't produce love. Religion will produce Phariseeism. Did the Pharisees love Jesus? Not so as you notice. Did they love other people? Not so as you notice. No. Religion doesn't produce love. Okay? The Spirit of God does. So, you that are, brethren, if man be overtaken in a fault, overtaken, slips, trips, falls, okay, overtaken, in a fault, okay, messed up, he's hanging out in the bar, ye which are spiritual, I'm sorry, I get this cough thing, it's driving me crazy, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Well, you're going to do it meekly, considering yourself, lest thou also be tempted. You're not going to do it like a Pharisee. Listen, I tell you, a young girl walks in, she's not appropriately attired. I hope she runs into grace lady, not rules lady. I hope she runs into meekness, not not that overbearing. You know, the name calling and the harsh and the shrillness. She just got saved, like yesterday. She didn't know any better. You'll give her a chance to grow up. But you older ladies, teach the younger ladies. What, it's Titus chapter 2, I think? You all have to know that, right? You've got to be older than somebody, don't you? So you got to know that verse. But you're going to consider yourself lest you're also tempted. Now, I go to a brother, and he's left his wife, and he tells me, well, she's this, and she's this, and she's this, and she's this, and she's this. He's going to win me over. He might. So I better not listen to all that stuff. I want to turn the talk right to Jesus. And thank you. I'm going to turn the talk right to Jesus, and I'm going to turn it right on to spiritual things, lest thou also be tempted. First, I think, yeah, you're right. Your marriage isn't so good. Maybe you ought to leave that shrew. And then I start thinking about my own marriage. Hey, wait a second, lest I be tempted. Now, I'm just giving you an example that's not very likely, okay? But we do that. You new Christians aren't very spiritual. And they're the ones who are near, because all their friends, like let's say they get saved out of like the drug or the alcohol culture, okay? They just start loving Jesus, they switch from that team to our team, and that's great. And now all of a sudden, their friends, they want to go back and they want to win all their friends. That's love. You got to commend that, right? So they go back to the bar. Guys, you don't have to live like this. I found Jesus, and it's great, and he loves me, and he's changed my life, and hey, yeah, okay, let's have a beer and talk about it, you know, and then it's, you know, what happens? You know what happens. You know what happens all the time. We've seen this time and time and time again. No, you gotta one, be spiritual. Two, you gotta consider yourself, lest you be tempted also. When does that rule not apply anymore? Well, you don't have to worry about me, Holy Spirit. You know, Holy Spirit's telling me, Adam, you know, be very careful. Oh no, I've been saved too long. You have to worry about me. And the Holy Spirit goes, whew, I don't want to waste my time worrying about him. I waste the time. You know what I mean? I got other people I got to worry about, but Adam's okay because he said, don't worry about me. No, you don't graduate past this. I was thinking a lot of these things that are true spiritually, you don't graduate past them. We're talking to somebody this weekend. And they were kind of confused, and I don't know what I should do about. And I was thinking, boy, I sure do. It's easy. And I was thinking, you know what the problem was with this person? They don't have any community. There's no one around them who they're like will hold their feet to the fire. They love the Lord, okay? That's not a question. But they're kind of like out there, and there's nobody, there's no community, there's no church who come around, there's no church families, no brothers or sisters who speak into their life and say, listen, dude, you're messing up. Listen, young lady, this is what you need to know. Listen, and I was thinking to myself about that. You know what? I generally know what's going on. I generally know which ends up. Why? Because I'm in community. I'm in fellowship. I have people come around me. I have brothers who hold my feet to the fire and say, listen, dude, you're messing up. And they keep me straight, and they keep me on. And I've only been saved for 30 years. So I can do this stuff all by myself. I know right from wrong. Listen, I've got to tell you something. I do know right from wrong today in community and fellowship, but I'm just like everybody else. If I don't have those people around me, I can tend to just leave the pack and walk off and just start deviating out of the way. And now I'm over here and that's so God didn't invent us to be alone ever. And people do that like, oh, I'm strong. I'll be all right. I'll be all right. No, you always got to consider yourself because you could be tempted also. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Boy, how many people is that true of? But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Wait a second. Bear ye one another's burdens, every man shall bear his own burden. See, this scripture is just like that. It's always full of these, you know, inconsistencies and double talk and all this good stuff. Only in English. In Greek, there's two different words for burden. The first one is bear every man's burden. That's like, think burden, think piano, okay? The other one, every man shall bear his own burden. Think backpack or something, you know what I mean? Backpacks, loads and burdens, let's call them, okay? A load is just, you know, pull your own weight. You know, around here, you're going to carry your own load. You know, I ain't got two backs. I can't put two backpacks on. You know what I mean? You got to carry your own, okay? Now, that piano, listen, don't try to move that. It's a good way to get a hernia. Let somebody give you a hand here, okay? Don't try to stand up under the piano. That's no. So you say, what do you mean, Adam? Give me some examples. Okay, let's play burdens and loads, okay? We'll give out scores and points will be awarded. Okay, a young lady, ladies are bad tonight, okay? A young lady stays up into the wee hours of the morning playing Wii, and then she's late for work the next day, and she misses a lot of time, and she's, is people looking at other people? Because I'm not thinking of anybody. These are totally hypothetical. So, listen. I've played Wii. I like that. Okay, I'm really not going there. But I have seen people hooked on different things, and I'm thinking of a specific person who none of you people know at all. You know, a lot of you guys are really good examples, but I can't use you. You know each other. So, and if I say something like that, and you guys know that I wouldn't do that, okay? So, a young lady, she stands up to the wee hours of the morning, she's playing Wii, and she can't get up the next day to go to work. And if she does, so she's calling late, calling sick, she's missing time, she's coming late, and her quality of her work really suffers. Burden or load? Load. It's correct. Correct. Okay, young couple, they got three young children. And one of the spouses dies horribly in an auto accident. Burden or load? Burden. Oh, you're pretty good. Oh, this is good. No, you're good. You're good. Let's try another one. Suze wants to go into Final Jeopardy right now. Let's try another one. Guy has a pretty good job. He spends a lot of his money on beer, cigarettes, and lotto tickets. And he doesn't have enough money to consistently pay his rent on time. Burden or load? It's generally a load. You could show him how to balance his checkbook, but you couldn't balance his checkbook every month. That wouldn't be right. Loads is what God has invented for us to carry, toughen us up. Burdens, better put a shoulder under there. They're going to die under that, the weight of that. Okay, immediate death in the family of immediate family member, burden or load. Generally, that's a burden. Yeah. So you know, they need community. They need people to come around. They need someone to help them. That's what it's saying. But bear you one another's burdens, fulfill the law of Christ. Now, guess what? You don't get to decide. I mean, you really, really don't. Okay? Why? Because there is such a person named Drama Queen. Everything is a burden. Oh, what am I going to make for dinner tonight? Oh, now, when Drama Queen is a guy, that's so wrong. And I've seen that too. Everything is, it's just, my world's coming apart. You've got to come over. And they call and they think that helicopters are supposed to hover in their front yard and people should rappel from ropes and dispel whatever it is, cook this tomato soup and feed their family or whatever it is that's so bad. And so, Drama Queens watch a lot of Oprah. Oprah fuels the fire of Drama Queendom. What that person needs is probably a good slap, but we're not the kind of people who slap people. So we say, hey dude, brace up. Let's man up. Stop buying the lottery tickets. Don't buy the cigarettes. You're not prolonging your life. Stop spending your money on alcohol. Be a man. Pay your rent on time. Okay. That's what they need. Okay. They need someone to come along and give them a good talking to. They need community. They need fellowship. They need people to straighten them out. That's what they need. Now, somebody's, hey, I've seen you in a long time. Where you been? Oh, I had a heart transplant. I've been out. And I almost died. Well, how come you didn't call? Well, I didn't want to burden anybody. I didn't want to be a burden and stuff. And you don't get to call it in either direction, okay? Cause there are the people who everything is the end of the earth. Everything's Armageddon. And there's other people who are going through their personal Armageddon and they think that they're supposed to meet it with a stiff upper lip. If your brother or sister was close to dying and they didn't tell you and then you found out about it later on, would you be kind of bummed out? You are each other's brothers and sisters more than your physical family members. I've got brothers and sisters, a whole bevy of them. I'm from a family of 8 children, okay? You are closer to me than my brothers and sisters. You're more of a community to me than they are. I love my brothers and sisters. I mean, I really, really do. And if I was dying, I would bother to call up one of them and tell them. Okay? I think that's a reasonable thing. So if I'm dying, I would let you know, okay? I'm not. Just in case you're wondering. See? Because I would have told you. See? That's how it works. We're bearing one another's burden. The weight is going to crush them. Throw a shoulder on each. What does that mean? Attend the funeral? Give them a hug? Help them? They don't know now because they're all by themselves. She doesn't know how to, what she's going to do with 2-3 children and no husband. The church has to come along beside us. They have to provide meals. They have to provide training. They have to provide babysitting. They have to do some substantive. We're not going to let you drown. We're here for you. We're gonna hold you up. We're gonna bear you up. That's what spiritual people do. I can't spend pay my rent on time. I spent all my money on lotto tickets. Oh well, here's a check, honey. No. The guy needs a severe talking to. I hope he goes to see Ron for the check. That's all I'm saying, because he won't ask twice, okay? I'm just saying. So there's burdens and there's loads. God gives us loads. We have to pay our taxes. We have to have a job. We have to take care of ourselves physically, spiritually, in every way. We have to take care of ourselves. We have to, take care of the house so it doesn't fall down around our ears. Things need to be maintained. We need to, take the car in to get brakes. He's made life hard on purpose to make us strong. Why are we supposed to be strong? So when somebody has a burden, we can help them out because we're strong. Yeah, I know how to balance a checkbook. Let me show you how to balance yours. I know how to be strong through a trauma. I've gone through some traumas. Let me help you through your trauma. You know, and the way we help people the best is with the things that we've been through. Listen, if you've been divorced and it was a heartache and a nightmare and you sought after God and he came up and he strengthened you and he's very near to you through the whole thing, who's the best person to counsel someone who's going through a divorce? I mean, duh. I remember when Sue's lost her dad, I think, like, I could sit there and say things and stuff. And, yeah, it was good to be there and try to be. I want to be there for my bride. I want to be strong for her and stuff. But my dad was just living on the road. I mean, it was. I remember a friend of hers coming over and just hugged and cried. And I know that was the big thing. I know. Well, she knew. And she had things to say, and I didn't have things to say. And I think that was more of a ministry than anything I could offer at the time. Somebody who had lost their dad. Then I lost my dad. She was very dear to me. She was very like, I know. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's right, you know. And it was helpful. I mean, it really was. That's how it works. I don't know how to say it. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he doesn't have the Church of Jesus Christ full very often. He just deceives himself. It's okay to know that you're okay. You have to go around acting like, I don't know how to say this right. It's okay to be okay with God, and it's okay to have answers, and it's okay to provide answers. It doesn't mean like, and when somebody asks me a question, sometimes I go into open panic mode. Oh my God, they're going to ask me a question. Lord, help me. They think I know something. I kind of do know a few things, and I kind of like, questions don't freak me out like they once did. I still pray because I understand it's more than just, but it's okay to be okay. Like in the sense, like somebody asked me a question. I was, you better ask him. He's more spiritual. It's like, don't do that. They're asking you, and God's saying, have I trained you? Have I blessed you? Have I equipped you? The answer is yeah. So you can think of yourself, about yourself, true things, but if you think about more highly, I'll answer all the questions out here. I know everything. No, you're thinking about yourself more highly than you ought to. You're thinking about yourself like you're something, but you're really nothing. I mean, because listen, the very best of us is nothing outside of the Spirit of God. And that's kind of the point. We're talking about how to go from point A to point B in our list. And if you think you do it all by yourself in the power of your flesh, you're only deceiving yourself. Let every man prove his own work, then he shall have and then shall he rejoice himself alone, not another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the Word of God communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. What's that saying? How to talk about? Christians, I'm going to read a footnote. I don't do this very often. Christians are to share their material possessions with their teachers. Ministers must of necessity be compensated for the loss of income sustained in filling their pastoral responsibilities. I agree. You got season tickets to the Bruins. You should give me some. It says so right there. I'm just reading scripture, and through that, like, I don't want to talk about this all the time, but the thing is, like, everyone says, oh, church is all about money. It's money, 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 money with them, and so that we're not, and I want everyone to know that we're not. So sometimes I don't teach plain, obvious scriptures because I'm too busy saying, oh, we're not about money. Keep your money. Who cares? We don't. No, don't keep your money. You need to be very generous. Because I'm very fond of saying all the time, you can have this recording for free. We like to give stuff out. We reflect a God that's generous. We can afford to be generous. Well, who's we? That's you. You is we. And me and you is we. I'm saying you don't have to pay. But you already kind of did. I mean, you bought the cassettes and you bought the recorder and you bought the computer and you already bought it. Now, should I make you buy it twice and kind of put you in a double jeopardy situation? No, I think you should be very generous. And I want to be generous. I want to demonstrate generosity. And I think you ought to be generous as well. I think a pay raise God gives us out so that we can increase our standard of giving, not increase our standard of living. I think it's not about how much stuff we die with, it's how much we gave away. I think that's, now I know that dentist bills cost. And I know that heating oil is way up. I get all that. I know that. I'm paying the same bills you're paying. I'm paying the same taxes. I'm paying the same car payments. I'm paying the same house. I know. Having said that, we should try to be as generous as we possibly can to reflect a God who's very generous. And one of the things is we should take care of those who communicate, who teach us, him that teaches in all good things. Now, having said that, it's kind of uncomfortable to me because I'm that guy. Now, I'm at such and such a place in my life right now where I do fine financially. I don't need anything. And when it's such time after God tells me, yeah, I want you to get a salary or whatever that looks like, then I will talk to the board and we'll go from there. I'm not there yet. Everything's fine. This is the next verse. I didn't say let's go to Galatians so I could get this and now introduce the thing. I need $2,000 a week. And this is the way I'm going to introduce it. No, nothing like that. Nothing like that. But here's another thing too. I got this card. I think I left it outside. Yeah, I did. I got this card. I was going to show you. I went to this thing Monday night where Suze was sharing. Oh, by the way, Suze, nothing but net. Swish. It was so sweet. I mean, the recordings will be available, okay, to nobody's surprise, certainly not mine. I know what she's capable of, and I thought it was going to be like it was, and I was very, very happy with the outcome of that, as was everyone who heard. So we were there before that, and she says, hey, let's go over and get a cup of coffee over at Dunkin' Donuts. She knows Dunkin' Donuts right across the street, and I saw an old friend, had graduated from Seven Oaks. He said, Adam, and he had this card for me. It was just so touching. He said, thank you for all the stuff you shared for us at Seven Oaks. I particularly, he mentioned some things that I had taught him a long way, specifically regarding grace and not legalism, how I never beat them up, how I was very gentle with them and stuff. And it touched me. I was like, oh, somebody heard and listened and took the time to write out a card. And I didn't, puddle up and, act all like I just want a Miss America beauty pageant or anything. But I was very touched. I said, this is so nice. Like somebody would take the time to do that and stuff. And I think that's kind of more what it's saying than, now I need you to come up afterwards and tell me, oh, Adam, you're wonderful and you teach me so much and stuff. I don't. I don't want to say that. I don't want to get a bunch of cards or anything like that. I just want, people who are speaking into your life and taking time and who are your mentors and stuff like that, it would be a good thing you shared that with somebody. The thing that you said, that really helped me out. When I was going through this and God was speaking to my heart and what you said to me was, that's a benefit. Why? Because then we're going to say more stuff to more people because we're very timid. We're thinking like, I want to speak into this person's life, but they're going to say, shut up. When I want your opinion, I'll beat it out of you. I don't, who asked you anyway? And with men, especially men to men, unsolicited advice, who wants that? So I ain't going to say nothing, right? Well, then I lose my opportunity to speak into somebody's life. Now, I have more of an opportunity because of this. But when I get away from this microphone, I do this as poorly as many of you do or as good as many of you do. I'm not special, what I mean? Sometimes I feel like I want to say, I don't know if this will go over. Am I nitpicking? Am I being helpful? I do the same thing. Now, when somebody comes and they say, well, Adam, what you said to me, that really made a difference. And not like I'm not thinking of myself more highly than I am. When he thinketh that he's something when he's nothing, I'm not like, oh, I'm the oracle and God's using me and only me. Not like that, but I'm thinking like God can use me. He wants to use me. He wants to use me in fellowship and community and helping everybody else, get to their destination. That's a wonderful thing. I want to be that. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good, do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith. Big idea. Let's go here. We only got 15 minutes. We'll cover this. Trust me. Don't be deceived about this. God's not mocked. If you Sowing and reaping. What are the three things we know about sowing? We've always known them. Sowing rule number one. You tell me. You plant corn, you get corn. What you plant is what you reap. You sow pumpkins, you get pumpkins, which is good. Which is good. So we know what we're going to get. It's not a surprise. This is very good because, you know, if I planted tomatoes and got Brussels sprouts, I would just, that wouldn't go well. I would, you know, Brussels sprouts, you eat them things? They, like when you cook them, they smell like dirty feet, you know? Brussels sprouts, they're awful. I love my vegetables. Brussels sprouts ain't one of them. Yeah, I eat butter on a lot of vegetables. It's just, don't do it for me. No, tomatoes. You got to eat tomatoes. Tomatoes are... Well, now, church discipline's a very real possibility here in the next few... No, you like what you like. You don't like what you don't like. I don't know. But you plant what you get. So if you love Brussels sprouts and you plant them, then you're all happy because you got Brussels sprouts. Now, if you don't like Brussels sprouts and you plant tomatoes, tomatoes come and you're all very happy. But you get what you plant. What you sow, you're going to reap. Now, what's the second rule? Come on, sowing and reaping. Huh? The season. After a season. You don't get it tomorrow. It's a season. A young man, we'll make it a man this time. The young lady is saying, I don't know. Young man, he likes the ladies. He chases them around, sleeps with as many as he can. When he doesn't actively have a woman, he seeks pornography. And then after, like, he's in his mid to late 20s, he thinks, I should get married. So he settles down with a woman. And the beginning of his, where he thinks of women as sex objects to be used and then discarded, and then he views women as sex objects, none of that is going to, he sowed that, but he won't reap that in his marriage. His marriage would be a wonderful thing and a very godly and a very blessed institution, correct? No. But there's a season. What you're sowing, you're going to get after a season. And a lot of people kid themselves because they think, okay, I did this, and I'm living with my girlfriend, but God still blessed my business. I got a sales call just the other day. See, God still, oh, wait a second. God's not mocked. You're gonna reap what you sow. You do understand that. Okay, those are the first two rules. You got two of them. You know the third one? Yes, the amount. You sow an apple seed, you get an apple tree. Okay? You didn't get an apple. You get an apple tree. You get much more than you is the idea. One seed, apple tree, with many, many apples for many, many years. Right? You sow the wind, you reap the whirlwind. That's terrifying. I think of my life and I'm thinking, like, oh my goodness, I gotta mend my ways. That's terrifying. No, it's not. I mean, it depends what you're sowing, right? But I'm sowing love, peace, joy. I'm sowing good things into my marriage. I'm not Mr. Fornication guy, Mr. Flirt guy, Mr. Just devout guy, enraptured in love of one woman guy. I'm sowing good things. I'm creating an environment in which my love and my wife can grow and thrive. And I'm treating my wife. I'm loving her like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Boy, I wonder what I'm going to reap as far as my marriage is concerned. Not me. I mean, a person. Okay. Hate, discord, nagging, you know, she doesn't cook the way my mom did, so I'm just going to nag her into it. How come I never get, and why don't you, and you should more, and that's good. You know, I'm going to sow that in, and then of course, like, she'll come right to the front, and my life will be wonderful, my marriage will be wonderful, right? You're going to get what you sow every time. Listen, Don't be deceived about this. Don't be deceived about this. God's not mocked. What you sow, you're going to reap. I was listening to a guy teaching about this, right? I'm going to use his illustration. Why? Because I can't use a lot of illustrations I know all the time. Okay. He gets a call from a lady in church. My husband isn't coming home. He's leaving me. It's been a perfect marriage. It's been wonderful. And all of a sudden, he's not coming home anymore. So he calls up, dude, what's going on? I can't take it anymore. I can't take it anymore. What? Every time I come home, I love her. I love Jesus. I love my family. I love my kids. I can't take it anymore. Anytime I come in, she starts in on me. Just like a drill sergeant. She gives me a list of things I did wrong that I need to change, that where I'm just falling down on the job. And she nags and nags and nags and nags. She puts her scoops bucket, a handful of the seed bucket of nag, and she just starts throwing it all around. And she finally, the crops come to fruition. I've had enough. Now my daughter's starting in on me. My 4-year-old daughter's nagging me. He's just like, what do you mean? Yesterday it was the towel. I didn't put the towel in the wrong place. The day before, I threw the towel in the hamper after only 2 days instead of the 3 days that she demands. He says, and it's always stuff like this. We're not talking about anything real. We're talking about I didn't put my slippers away under the corner of the bed like she tells me to. I'm thinking, like, should he divorce her? No. Did we all see that coming? Yeah. Yeah. You get what you sow. Always, always. Always. We love that in agriculture, right? But we think we can not do things by God's rules, that we can live against his principles, against his way, successfully forever, and we won't reap any consequences. That is... No. You're mocking God. Oh, God! You know what you're talking about. I can do this. I can get away with this. It's okay. God's not mocked. What a man sows, that also he's going to reap. I don't know how else to say it. That is a wonderful principle. If we embrace it, like, listen, I'm going to do this. I'm going to, my marriage is very important. So I'm going to sow good things in my marriage. It's so important to me about my children that they grow up to be just sturdy, loving Jesus, citizens of the kingdom. I'm going to pour my life and good things into them. Just pour good things in them. Just be the... we think like... and then, of course, here's the other thing, too. There's a season involved, right? I tried that. I tried to discipline my kids. And they're still midget demons. I spanked them once. I said, get back here and finish your Brussels sprouts, them awful things they didn't want to eat. I said, come back here and eat them. And he said, no, and they left the room. And I tried to tell them, get back here and eat them, and it didn't work. Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. I tried that. You did? Yeah, I get up Tuesday early, and I prayed, and I didn't sense them, so... you got to read your Bible. God will speak to your heart. I tried that. You did? Yeah, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And I read my Bible, and God didn't say anything to me, so I gave up. Because we're Americans. I mean, listen, if we have a computer and a phone and a credit card, we can get anything if we have enough on our credit card. From pizza to plutonium, we can have it delivered to our house within 24 hours, right now, instant gratification. And we're saying it doesn't work like that in this thing. Give stuff time, or you're mocking God. These are all the options. Do things God's way, consistently, every day. Why? Because it's going to be a season of harvest. It's all going to come back. I'm going to be generous. I'm going to be giving. I'm going to practice these things. I'm going to let the Spirit of God produce Christ-likeness in me. And that's going to, I'm sowing seed everywhere. And it's going to come back. Bushels. I'm the hundredfold guy. I want to be the, you say, this isn't a very terrifying lesson. It depends on what you're sowing. God's not mocked. In either direction. Yeah, I'm sowing good things. I'm gonna reap good things. I'm sowing spiritual things. All my life's about promoting the kingdom of God, loving and just and being a peacemaker. And you know, I practice honing my skills to lead other people in worship. I spend considerable time thinking about how to make my ministry a better thing, how to minister to people on the job when they come in. I show up early. I pray hard. I open the Bible. I want God to speak to me so that when it's time to do ministry, I'm right there. I'm like, I'm Johnny on the spot. I can do this. My life is about becoming the person that God wants me to be so he can use me. So these are the seeds I'm planting in my life. Gee, I wonder how that's going to end up. Not so good. The whole thing's going to blow up and start moving sideways. God's not mocked. But you got to remember this. You can't just drive down the street and stop in any bank and make a withdrawal. Banks don't work that way. Okay, if you don't put any money in that bank, you can't withdraw anything from that bank, right? I'm just going to sow discord. It's my way or the highway. I'm going to be nasty. I'm going to be short-tempered. I'm going to be ill-mannered. I'm going to be contemptible. I wonder why people never return my phone calls. I don't understand it. I'm a self-absorbed guy. This is what I want to be, okay? My whole life is right here, okay? It's all about me. Will you hurry up and stop talking so I can turn this conversation back about me, which is my favorite topic after all? I don't like to talk about you. I don't even want to know how you're doing because you're going to answer the question in more than 30-second soundbite, and I won't be able to talk about me anymore. It's me. It's all about me. Me, 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 me. I just, and that's what I love. And so now, corner somebody and they see me coming, they're running off in some direction. And that was funny. I thought he saw. And so nobody wants to hang around me. Nobody wants to return my phone calls. Nobody wants to be my friend. Yeah, I wonder, what have I been sowing? Selfishness and the self-absorbed. Everything, no matter where, how you, I can give you 1,010 different examples, okay? But your mind's already racing with all these different things. Lord, what are you speaking in my life? What things do I need more Christ-likeness in? What things do I got to let go? You're not mocked. Ultimately, you're going to have your way. And if I'm sowing these things, it's going to come back on me. A bushel. I'm sowing a seed, and I'm just going to get, that scares me. Lord, I don't want to harvest that. I don't want my marriage, my relationships, my child rearing, my whatever it is, my job, my social skills, I don't want what I'm sowing. I don't want to show up for that harvest. You got to start changing right away. Now we've had this lesson. Now tomorrow you're going to go out and be perfect. No, and he doesn't expect that either. But I think we want to change substantially all the time. We want to be sow. We don't want to sow to the flesh. We will of the flesh reap corruption. We want to sow to the Spirit. Sometimes there's a long season. Sometimes there's a short season, but there's always a season. And sometimes the season's not even the harvest isn't even realized this side of the veil. Much of my life has to do with this. When I close my eyes and sleep, or I hear a trumpet blast, and I stand before my Savior, the whole thing comes down to a, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If I don't have that, then my life is in a hill of beans. It wasn't worth shucks. I was sadly misspent, and I had all the opportunities, and I Charlie Browned them all. I never got my foot on the football at all. All I want to do, the whole thing, is about then, not here and now, then and there, because that's the long time. Here's the short time. If all my life's about this little thing right now, that's a life that's sadly misspent. If I'm sowing eternal things, well, I'll reap them eternally. And I think in those terms all the time. It makes all the difference. Listen, God's not mocked. No, you're not getting away with it. You're going to sow, and you're sowing, you're going to reap, and you're going to have your head in your hands. I can't believe I did this to myself. And I wish we always realized, I wish it was such a cause and effect thing that we always, but then we always try to blame shift and blame God, and how come you let this happen? How come I let... It's like that poison lady who's always negative towards her husband. How come you let him walk out on me? That's what they're likely to say. We never saw it coming. How did this happen? She called up the pastor. He left me. We have the perfect Christian marriage and he left me. Okay, our time's done. We'll pick up here next week. Our Father and our God, we understand you're not mocked, and what we sow, we're going to reap. Help us. God, help us. With this in mind, we just want to sow the things that you want us to be about. Lord, we're not going to, your rules won't change for us. With that in mind, Lord, we want to be different from everybody else. We want to be the real deal. We want to be authentic. We want to sow to the Spirit. We want to be remarkably different people with remarkably different marriages and relationships and work ethic and all the things, Lord, that bless your heart and please you. Lord, help us to be sold out for Jesus Christ 100% and not even halfway about any of these things at all. We shudder when we think what we're planting now, Lord, and what we're going to reap if we aren't doing this thing right. Help us, Lord, to get these things right. It's too critical, Lord, to mess up on. Keep this lesson with us. This is different from a lot of things we learn. Just help us to visit here in our minds over and over and make choices more often, all the time, Lord. Better and better in these things. Choices that please you, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Matt, you want to send us out with a song? You got another one of these? Who had this? You got another one of them?